Here we are together again, studying Hashem's Torah and seeking some inspiration in life during these challenging times. Parshas Acharimos, which begins with a detailed discussion of the Yom Kippur rites, that is primarily the temple-centric rites of Yom Kippur that focus on the Kohen Gadol, the big kahuna. And then towards the end of that, we hear about details of Yom Kippur, details of its observance, which apply even on this very day. And the Torah's reportage that Aaron HaKohen did exactly as he was instructed. He never let it become a personal spiritual trip. And we've talked about this over the last 2 days. Continuing to make our way through our doubleheader Torah portion, subsequent to the emphasis to the temple as being the center of Yom Kippur activity and the source of cleansing and spiritual atonement for the Jewish people, the Torah goes on to highlight the importance of Yerushalayim, the Beit HaMikdash being the exclusive venue for offerings. Initially this was Shiloh or Shiloh, and we know this ultimately reached its permanence in the holy city of Jerusalem. The Torah talks to us about blood, prohibitions of blood primarily. Blood was used in Beit HaMikdash offerings, and blood is forbidden for us, the Jewish people, to consume in any way, shape, or form. We hear about the importance of respecting the blood of untamed animals and fowl, blood that has to be covered. And then we hear about defilement, which is contracted by eating the carrion of fowl. And at this point, in what opens as the 18th chapter of Leviticus, the Torah focuses its attention on one of the most challenging elements of our human existence. The challenges of love, the human drive for sensual intimacy, and the various issues of who you may or who you may not marry. What is a marriage sanctioned by Torah, and what isn't? These have always been some of the greatest challenges for the Jewish people. And many would argue, and I think correctly, that it continues to be the greatest challenge that faces us today. A simple example is intermarriage. Intermarriage would spell the end, Rachman al-Utslan, of the Jewish people. But it is a weighty challenge, and one that the Jewish people did not accept with joy. There was no happiness when these mitzvahs were given. And it comes with a preface. God, speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, at the beginning of chapter 18, in verse 2, before we hear about any prohibition, or before we hear about the notion of how the Torah sees illicit marriages or relationships, the Torah begins with an instruction. God speaking to Moses, and he says, Daber el bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. V'yomarta aleihem, and you should say to them, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. Ha, you got to be kidding, really. Really now, in the 18th chapter of Leviticus, you are the Lord their God? Nachmanides points out that interestingly, this is the first time we hear sort of a shift. It's Daber el Bnei Yisrael. Up until this point, Moses was speaking to Aaron, the big kahuna, or to the Kohanim. But here, there's an emphasis on the Jewish people. Who else did Moses speak to? Why couldn't we simply say, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer? God spoke to Moses saying, the 613 mitzvahs were designated as a way of life, as an obligation and a privilege for the Jewish people. The children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, who were taken out of the land of Mitzrayim. Ah, Ramban says, this is because, Azharot Shaveh B'chol Yisrael, here we speak of prohibitions that, unlike some of the previously discussed issues, focus on a particular family or tribe within the Jewish people, like Kohanim. This is something that embraces all of us. And why Ani Hashem Elokeichem? Why does God feel compelled to reintroduce himself to us, as it were? And Nachmanides says, well, it's the same reasoning, the same idea as when he gave us Aseret HaDibrot, that which the world proverbially refers to as the Ten Commandments, although there really are 613 commandments. It's more like 10 statements. But at any rate, Aseret HaDibrot, mass revelation at Sinai, 10 of the mitzvot which were given to us in a very, very public and revelatory way, also get introduced with Ani Hashem or Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now, Ramban doesn't repeat himself, so you take a look at his commentary back in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. And he says that the notion of God introducing himself is as if to kind of instruct or to guide us. Sheyedu v'yaminu. You should know and you should believe that these are divinely oriented commandments. These are not coming from people. There is a God, and that God is your God. That God cares what you do and what you don't. And when you have challenges and it's difficult, He's your God, your personal God. And as such, not only is this a privilege, but it is a responsibility. Chayavim la'avod oto. Nachmanides says we are obligated to serve Him. And so the Jewish people are not a people by merely historical context. We are not a nation because of self-determination or because of political freedoms or abilities. We are not a nation by virtue of culture, cuisine, or poetry. We are a nation by virtue of the fact that we are in a relationship with the Creator Himself, a unique and a special relationship, and God has special and unique expectations of us. A privilege and a tremendous responsibility. It still leaves us wondering, why with this mitzvah specifically, why in the middle of Leviticus 18 does God have to come back and tell us, Ani Hashem Elokechem? I mean, it's understandable that that's how He introduces Him to us at Mount Sinai. It's understandable that that's the way Aseret HaDibrot, proverbial Ten Commandments begin. It's understandable that that's the way mass revelation was initiated. It's not quite easy to understand why, after having given us so many mitzvot, so many instructions, and the balance of Exodus and the beginning of Leviticus, that suddenly God finds it necessary to reintroduce Him to us all over again. All over again, we have to hear about who is God and why we're responsible for Him and to Him. Rashi says that we must see and understand this particular verse as an introduction to what our sages called Parshat Arayot, the Torah portion that deals with forbidden relationships and marriages that the Torah doesn't sanction. Ani hu sha'amarti b'Sinai. I am indeed the God who commanded you at Mount Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Rashi goes on to say, Kibaltem aleichem malchusi. You did accept upon yourselves my majesty. You pledged allegiance. You accepted upon myself, yourselves, that I would be your king. Me'ata, now, kablu gzerotai, it's time for you to pony up. Accept my decrees. Rashi quotes the great sage we call Rebbe, the redactor of the Mishnah, who said, Golu v'yadua lefanav, God in His omnipotence, of course, knew that in the end the Jewish people's connection and relationship with God would be superficially severed and attenuated deeply. B'yimei Ezra, in the days of Ezra, many of our people never came home. Their descendants assimilated forever, lost to the Jewish nation. The scourge of the day, intermarriage. By marrying out of the faith, the children were no longer Jewish. And those who married non-Jewish men, those children in the end assimilated. My dear friends, these are historical facts. A pitiful remnant returned to Zion, and not because of financial concerns only, not because there was an issue of lack of prosperity. People were lost. Jews were assimilated. That's the story of our people. Rebbe says it was known to God that this would happen in the end. And therefore, God makes it very clear from the beginning, this is going to be your great big challenge. I mean, I'm sure all of you have seen Fiddler on the Roof. Tevye doesn't get his way. But in the end, it's his third daughter that he stumbles and he can no longer continue to accept. It just doesn't work anymore. The tailor, the communist. But when his daughter marries out of the faith, Tevye throws down the gauntlet. He can't continue on. This is a very painful subject. It's a very difficult subject to speak about. It's a very uncomfortable subject to speak about. Because when you're emotionally attached and committed in a relationship, it's very, very hard to deal with this. But the Torah is explicit in telling us. And here, Rashi concludes his comments with some very important words. And I want to focus on these words for the balance of our class. Lefichach, therefore, bo aleihem begzeira. God came with a decree. And the decree opens with the words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. What do these words mean? I am the Lord your God. Rashi says, Du'u mi gozer aleichem. First and foremost, it's a good idea for you to know where this is all coming from. Who is it that's speaking to you? Who is it that's making this command? Dayan Lipora, a judge who will exact payment. V'ne'eman l'shalem socher, and one who is trustworthy. You can rely on him. Remuneration will definitely come your way. Interesting. Interesting idea here. Know who you're dealing with. The God who will exact vengeance, the God who will recompense. What's really being conveyed to us? And how might it inspire us or encourage us in today's strange day and age? The Rebbe once suggested that you can take the words of Rashi and actually divide them into three mini statements. The first is, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The first word is Ani. Ani. Ani, God saying, it's me. Knock, knock. Who's there? It's I. God says, it's me. It's I. I means, don't you know me? Du'u mi gozer aleichem. Know who it is that's leveling this decree. Know who it is that's speaking to you. In other words, God is telling us that he knows that an amorous attachment to another person can be so strong that we will consider breaking away, even forsaking God or our Judaism. So many people are faced with this challenge. And the amorous relationships can literally push us into a place where we defy the very basic essence of our attachment to Judaism. And that's because there's a tremendous power in love and power in relationship and a power in human attachment. I'm not talking now about lust or libido. I'm talking about a very real emotional attachment, a very profound and powerful love. So God says, first of all, bear in mind that it is I, the creator of the world. Ani. You know my calling card. You've heard from me before. I am the source of these prohibitions. The next thing is Ani Hashem. So I am God. And I am God means, Rashi says, Rashi interprets this as Ne'eman L'shalem Socher. I am to be relied upon, trustworthy. There will be recompense. That is to say, that even if you think about flouting these specific prohibitions, it's very clear in the Torah. I mean, as one wise person once said, which part of thou shalt not did you not understand? It's very clear. So a person might say, future misery, the world to come, this is very far away from me. I'm living in the here and now. And me living in the here and now, I want to be happy. So I'm prepared to exchange eternal misery for eternal happiness. I just want to be happy. Don't you understand that? I just want to be happy. I dated Jewish girls, Rabbi. It wasn't good. It didn't make me happy. She makes me happy. He makes me feel complete. Those are powerful feelings. I get it. Difficult situation. Hashem says, I'm your God. I'm not just your buddy. I'm not just the creator who loves you, but the creator who has expectations of you. And God promises us that everything has a price. It's a very significant and severe price to pay. And the transient happiness that you'll attain through non-compliance is just not going to be a good investment. It's just not going to be worth it. And then God finishes off by saying, or I should say emphasize, God says, I know how difficult this is to you. I will recompense you. I get it. It's really hard. You're being asked to make the most difficult decision in the world. God. When a person serves Hashem, Hashem appreciates it. The harder it is, the more Hashem appreciates it. As the Mishnah says, according to the pain is the gain. And finally, Elokeichem. The word Havaya, Yudke Vavke Hashem, signifies God's mercy, God's beneficence, the giving of divine nature. Whereas Elokim represents the notion of divine judgment. And so God is telling us that if we defy him, we should be certain that he is a Dayan Lihipora, that he will apply corrective punishment, and things won't just slide by him. And these are the three things, the three details that we should be aware of before we begin to read this portion, which incidentally is read in the afternoon of Yom Kippur in synagogues around the world. This is what we focus on. The most base form of sin. Most of these relationships are beyond the pale to most people. Incestuous relationships. Parent, children, sibling, cross incest between different generations. Torah is very clear about this. It might not make sense to you. Well, maybe it does make sense to you. It doesn't matter. What matters, God says, is that you obey. And so he gave us a three-point plan. Know who you're dealing with. It's God. The second thing is, God recompenses. It's hard. It'll always be worth it. And lastly, lest you think that you'll exchange eternity for eternal happiness, remember that in the end it doesn't really work that way. And the short-lived gains in the end will unravel quickly. We won't be fulfilled. It just won't work, because if the creator of heaven and earth says it won't work, and if the creator of heaven and earth says you can't go against your grain without getting scratched, you just can't. It won't work in the long run. Now, this is a challenge that all of us face on a good day. Today we have new challenges. We're reeling from this whole COVID business. And I thought to myself that one of the greatest challenges most people are having, and I say this because I've heard it from people, I say this because I struggle with this myself, it's the challenge of self-motivation. As much as we like to complain about the burden that society places upon us, as much as we like to kvetch about the various responsibilities that we had, and that couldn't we get some slack and a day off, many of us are actually craving that pressure. Because in the end, it's the outside pressure and deadlines we have to meet that make us productive. Sure, we could have used a little more vacation, we could have had a little more slack, but nobody asked for this much. And it becomes difficult because we as human beings function within the milieu of a society and within the framework of our specific lives. And much of that framework has evaporated. And our society isn't functioning normally now. And people are finding it difficult to get out of bed and difficult to be motivated. They should be getting so much done, and yet projects that have been pushed off for years until there's time aren't seeming to reach fruition or completion. And that's because this is difficult. That's because this is challenging. I think that if every one of us makes a careful schedule and begins his day with thinking about three things, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, this is not just about living our own lives. ultimately we're in a relationship with God. God has expectations of us during times good and not so good. And God wants us to be productive. And God wants us to be purposeful. So pull yourself together. Remember at every moment that Hashem is Boichin Kloyes, that Hashem loves you, cares about you, and has expectations from you. Know that if it's difficult and if it's challenging, according to the pain, Lufum Tzara, comes the Agra, comes the reward. And finally, allowing time to simply slip between our fingers and missing opportunities to repair relationships or make up for things that have been waiting to be taken care of forever, ultimately put us not only in a position of responsibility, but ultimately in a position of a debt that we owe to God. Life is a gift. We shouldn't take it for granted. And I really believe that if we'll think about this on a regular basis, we can self-motivate. We can utilize the time we have in our hands and the limited abilities that are now available to live life in the best way possible. And I hope and I pray that as we use our time well and fulfill our missions and live lives that are punctuated with purpose, that we will merit to see a better tomorrow, not only a world healed, but in fact, a world made whole with the coming of Mashiach b'mheira, ubi amenu amen.